Join longtime local and social butterfly Michelle Dragony as she flits up and down the coastside on her intrepid cruiser Flame, chatting with coastal characters at every turn.
The number one goal for Coastside Buzz is to give coastsiders a voice. For this 2016 election season, the Coastal Butterfly will do a podcast interview with each city council candidate. Each candidate was given the following set of questions so that they could prepare ahead of time. Who are you? How did you get here? Why do you want to run? And then I ask them to discuss the top five priorities that have been revealed through the current general plan review over the last 2 years. 1. Improving traffic. 2. Protecting open space and trails. 3. Preserving our small town character. 4. Developing a more walkable, livable city. 5. Concentrating development in the downtown core area. After they answered these questions, they were given an opportunity to freestyle within a 30-minute total podcast limit. And here we are today, sitting in the studio with Carol Joyce and talking to the Coastal Butterfly. And Carol, you're running for city council. Who are you?
Well, Michelle, thank you for having me, and to your listeners for listening to me today on the podcast. I was born in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, when my father was in the Army, but I grew up in Michigan, the oldest of three children. I was the first person in my family to go to college, but I wasn't the last. My parents worked very hard to support me, and I appreciate that very much. After college, I went to law school at the University of Michigan, and when I graduated, my husband and I moved to California. I came here for a job in a law firm. After passing the bar, I worked there for about 2 years, and then I left the law firm to work at a nonprofit organization called the Workers' Compensation Insurance Rating Bureau. Mm-hmm. There, I was attorney in their legal department. I became the vice president of the legal department, and my job was to work Department of Insurance, insurance companies, and an employer to set the rates they paid for workers' compensation insurance. My main responsibilities were drafting the regulations that the Department of Insurance approved, enforcing those regulations, and then resolving disputes between the employer and the insurance companies.
Wow, sounds pretty complicated.
It is a specialty area, and when I left the WCIRB California, I went into business for myself using that expertise first to mediate disputes with employers and insurance companies, and then I found there was a need for that expertise in helping resolve those disputes in litigation, particularly in instances where there were allegations of fraud, which involved employers not paying their fair share into the system.
Well, you'll certainly have an interesting eye on the city council happenings. And so that leads to the next question is, why are you running for city council?
Well, I'm running because I've lived here on the coastside for 17 years with the issues that still face us today. And I believe that my legal and mediation background will be assets to the city council. My mediation background gives me the skills to engage in an open and transparent decision-making process, which will make our community stronger. Also, my legal skills will help me analyze these very complex issues that we face and ask questions to make sure we've considered all the alternatives.
And so you're just being very open-minded, that will be your approach?
Right. I'm going to take those 17 years of experience, but I am a newcomer, as you point out, Michelle, and so I'm going to bring a fresh perspective to some of these issues that we've been trying to move forward on for a while.
I'm not really a newcomer. Didn't you do PTO and all of the school stuff as you came up?
Absolutely. So during my 17 years, I wore different hats in terms of community service. I had an Irish Wolfhound for many of those years, and I worked with dog walkers in trying to resolve the issues that we have walking on the coast. And then my daughter went to school, and I was involved at Fair Longview and the Lit Club at Cunha and the PTO, and then in the Site Council. One of the instances that I remember most from that PTO experience at Cunha was working with Spanish-speaking parents in a effort to bring those communities together. Mm-hmm. And it was a facilitated discussion over several weeks so that the language barrier was minimized and we could exchange views. Mm-hmm. And I found out that, not surprisingly, we shared the same goals for our children to be successful and to better themselves, and that the language barrier that I didn't know quite how to deal with when I was a parent in the classroom and wanted to ask for help, I was able to ask that question, Michelle, and get the simple solution that if I called after school, one of the children would be able to help with the translation, and then the parents would be able to participate in the classroom activities.
That was
an experience
nice
that
solution.
I'll bring forward to the council as we work to bring all of our community members into the process, including our Latino community.
So now let's discuss the top five priorities that have been revealed through the current general plan review. And the first priority, as all co-siders would agree with, is traffic.
I agree with all co-siders that traffic is the first priority, Michelle. But I want to step back and just put that question in the context of what is a general plan? What is the general plan update?
Start from the beginning. Good idea.
I support the general plan update and the coastal plan update. Those updates are going to be critical to the future of Half Moon Bay because our current plan is out of date and it doesn't reflect the community values that we've heard in the initial outreach process that began in 2013. I appreciate the efforts of the City Council, the city staff, the General Plan Advisory Committee members, and residents and other stakeholders that have been involved in the process. I agree with the current council members that community engagement is important at every stage of the process, and equally important is developing updated information in an easily understandable format so that community members are able to provide meaningful input when they come to the meetings. As a mediator, I know that it's important that we start both the process of the general plan and the local coastal plan updates, as well as just conversations among ourselves by agreeing on the terms and the concepts that we're using in the process. So I want to take a few more minutes to talk about my understanding of the role of the general plan and the local coastal plan in today's decision-making, as well as the future decision-making in Half Moon Bay. The general plan guides our development in Half Moon Bay. It includes policies that impact day-to-day decisions. But if you're like me and your listeners are like me, Michelle, when you hear development, it's sort of a trigger. And here in Half Moon Bay, the voters made clear with Measure D that we want controlled development. But the general plan update isn't about development in that narrow context. It's a much broader, open discussion of how we want to see Half Moon Bay in the future. Mm-hmm. And that includes preserving open space and agricultural land, the type of development that we do need to fulfill our vision, and how we're going to meet our needs while protecting the environmentally sensitive habitats that we live with. At the same time that we're updating our general plan, we're also updating the local coastal plan. As you know, living close to the ocean means that our decisions about the future of Half Moon Bay are impacted by the Coastal Act. I support the Coastal Act's goals to conserve coastal resources and maximize public access and recreational opportunities. The California Coastal Commission and other government agencies are critical players in making sure that we have the latest information and best approach to addressing sea level rise and climate change, which are important parts of updating the general plan. This general plan update is a multi-year process. At the end of the process, the work of the community members, the general plan advisory committee, city staff, and other stakeholders will go before the planning commission and then the city council. The local coastal program will be submitted to the coastal commission for approval. So with that background, let's go back to
traffic.
And traffic, as well as the other questions that we're going to discuss, I have a hard time isolating them one from the other. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking to residents, mm-hmm. and when I'm considering them myself, when I look at the input that the process has already received, mm-hmm. all of these issues are so interconnected. And traffic is an excellent example of that, because improving traffic is also going to be impacted when we make decisions on developing a more walkable city, mm-hmm. another of the priorities.
And trails.
And trails, mm-hmm. absolutely. And so it's also going to impact our climate action plan, because if we can reduce traffic, if we can get more people to walk, if we can take more people to take the bus, then we'll reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and achieve the goals that the climate action plan. Mm-hmm. So it is a key priority, and the discussions I think will raise ideas that perhaps we've never thought of, but it's a good example of how it won't stand on its own.
Right.
We're going to have to, in the end, bring all of these separate pieces we've discussed together to get a comprehensive plan.
And so in terms of open spaces and trails, what are the thoughts on trying to remodel what we have? Do we add to what we have? What do we do? Because the trail system is a little bit confused. The bicycle trail system. And I bike all the time, and there's a lot of really unsafe areas. Do we get funding for that? Do we work as a coastside, Half Moon Bay? How is that going to work?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, but it's separate from the general plan question. Mm-hmm. So there is a need to do some of these things without waiting for the general plan.
How long do we have to wait before we can do anything per the general plan in the process as we are right now?
All right, that's an excellent question, because we can go forward under the current general plan. It hasn't expired.
Gotcha.
It will affect all of the decisions, and the zoning code remains in place, and all of the decisions made by the Planning Commission mm-hmm. will be under the current zoning code.
Gotcha.
What we're doing now is saying what's working and what isn't, and how do we want to change that for the future. Mm-hmm. So with trails, mm-hmm. currently there is coastside, mm-hmm. which takes the entire coastside into effect but isn't binding on Half Moon Bay.
Oh.
And there is a Half Moon Bay effort to improve safety with their Highway 1 safety project. And that's moving forward. It's currently in the capital improvement project in a design phase.
Wow.
But there's been separate outreach from the general plan effort on that.
I see.
And that is where trails are addressed in mm-hmm. the immediacy that will feed into this long-term plan. The coastal trail is effective for pleasure and recreation, mm-hmm. but it isn't as effective to get people back and forth to downtown Half Moon Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that parallel trail concept I want to focus on for both safety and to provide the options for cyclists. I hope when we get into the discussion of the general plan, and because this is community driven, not top down, but bottom up, that I see that same interest in completing that trail if stages are necessary, but the commitment going forward to provide a safe place, especially Highway 1 north of Main Street, where you mm-hmm. see high school students walking to school and parents pushing mm-hmm. strollers. Mm-hmm. That, to me, would be the first place mm-hmm. I'd want to mm-hmm. prioritize for putting in that parallel trail.
Yeah, it's almost as if you need the coastal trail, Then you need the Namie Patridge Trail on the west side, but closer to the highway. And then you really need another trail on the east side of the highway. And people will cross across every once in a while, but people who are on the east side tend to stay on the east side. You know, people on the west side, they'll stay on the west side until they have to cross to the east side. But you're right, there's some gaps. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next 4 years. We have such an opportunity. And then I know another one of our goals is to preserve our small town character.
Right. Well, I'd like to focus, because I think this is one of the top priorities in the research before we get to small town character, mm-hmm, which is mm-hmm. one of my favorite topics, mm-hmm. and that is open space. And I was surprised to learn that under the current plan, which was created in the early 90s, mm-hmm. there is no designation in the code for open space. Hmm. And today that's required. So we will address it, and having that discussion is going to be so beneficial to us as a community. Mm-hmm. Because to me, open space defines Half Moon Bay. It's why I moved here. It's why visitors come here. And so where is the open mm-hmm. space going to be? Where will we designate for development of certain kinds mm-hmm. that comply with the other aspects of the Coastal Act? Mm-hmm. And
I gather the PUDs, there's quite a few of them lurking about here and there, and they're going to be part of that assessment?
It's possible they'll be part of that assessment. Mm-hmm. I think early in 2015, the City Council revisited the focus of the general plan in an attempt to simplify it and mm-hmm. move it forward. And at that time, they concentrated on the downtown core. Mm-hmm. And so I don't believe there are many of those developments in the downtown core. Mm. So then going forward,
that'll be the next thing to look at then.
And whether or how. All of those right. things, I think, are to be determined. And again, my knowledge now isn't as someone involved in the process directly, but in learning about it to know what I will be dealing with when I'm a council member. So, like, and the listener, I'm learning, and certainly city staff and many of the stakeholders are far more experienced in the interaction of the Coastal Act and other California regulations protecting wildlife, federal regulations, etc., that will impact the vision that we develop for Half Moon Bay.
Right. It's not going to be simple.
Right. And then small town character. Small town character is another one where I see overlap. Oh, can I go back? Because there's another issue about open space that is important to mm-hmm. me. And again, I was surprised to learn, when I say open space, I also think of the agricultural mm-hmm. lands.
Okay.
And in the current plan, most of the land that we see isn't designated agricultural. Mm-hmm. It's used that way, but it's not designated that way. And I think that's an important part of the open space discussion, that if we want this land preserved for agriculture, mm-hmm. what does that look like? I don't know the answer, but I do know that I would support starting with the farmers and others who are working that land mm-hmm. and using the land to see how the general plan updates can best support their efforts. Small town character. I see our small town character as more than just the buildings that we love and the look of Main Street. Also, there's another balancing act that has to go on when we look at the next priority on our list, develop a more walkable, livable city, and the fifth one we want to get to, concentrate development in the downtown area. So how do we preserve the character and develop in a way that's walkable and livable and meets our needs? That's a balancing act that this discussion is going mm-hmm. to deal with. And I think that's healthy, and I think it takes an honest exchange of positions so that we can end up with a plan that's workable. I don't think we should start from scratch. What I would watch for and encourage is to look at other cities, coastal cities, other cities who have small, compact downtowns, to see what best practices worked for mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And that way, I would feel more confident and hope that the community feels more confident that the end result will have the effect we want it to, because we're not starting from scratch.
Right. Why reinvent the wheel?
Right. The other part of the small town character I want to talk to you about, Michelle, is that it is also the people of our community that give our small town its character. Mm-hmm. And it's our seniors, our children, students, parents, workers, you know, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. It's also the community, organizations, and individuals that work so hard to meet the needs. Mm-hmm. And I'm impressed over and over again how there's so many people with diverse passions that turn those passions into helping others. I do want to see, when we say preserving small town character, that the general plan discusses and includes ways that this vision will support all of our community and help them with their needs. I saw that in the summary of the comments that the staff received when they did their first community outreach was concern from seniors about being able to age in place. And clearly in our downtown, we've made great strides to provide places for independent living among our seniors. But when you look at the statistics, our population is aging. So we may need more spaces. I don't know what the answer is. I want to have the discussion. But also, we don't have assisted living facilities for that next step mm-hmm. that some of us may have to take when we get older. So again, mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is. But as a city council member, I will follow this to make sure that those quality of life issues are included in the discussion, along with the larger issues of traffic and preserving open space and protecting our coastal environment.
It's an interesting problem to be solving.
It is an interesting problem, and it speaks to two issues. It speaks to one, that when we talk about neighborhoods and stakeholders, we need to include people who own lots with the intention to build into the discussion mm-hmm. to make sure those views are represented in the final plan. Mm-hmm. And also that I don't feel, and I'm sure you agree, that we can wait for this final plan to deal with the impact of the high rent prices and the lack of availability. And as a council member, I would look for ways to take steps other than building more houses at this point to help advertise county programs that exist for seniors who may have rooms to rent.
Like hip housing. Exactly.
And so along that same line, to look if there's ways that we can help people now while we develop this long-range vision.
I just recommended two people this week to hip housing. I mean, that's how critical our housing situation is. And we've got teachers, we've got firefighters, and we've got people that need rooms. Otherwise, we're going to lose all of our workers. So you are an attorney, and you said your mediation and legal experience would be assets to the City Council. Can you explain how these things will be assets?
I've used my mediation experience as an ombudsperson for the Mid-Peninsula Regional Open Space District, and I was there for 7 years. I was the first ombudsperson, and my job was to facilitate resolutions of issues that staff was unable to resolve. Mm-hmm. And so the easy ones were resolved. And I used my skills as a mediator in listening and respecting people's points of view mm-hmm. to help them understand the process and to make the best argument they could. My goal there was to make sure that even if they didn't accomplish their goal, oftentimes it was users wanting more room for their particular passion, be it dog walkers or mountain bikers. Mm-hmm. And there were only so many resources. So mm-hmm. oftentimes they were frustrated, and I knew I couldn't change that. But what I wanted was them to feel that they were respected in the system and heard, even though they didn't get their final result. And that's the same approach that I'll take to including all viewpoints mm-hmm. when I'm making a decision as a council member. Mm-hmm. It will be my decision, but I will consider all points of view, mm-hmm. listen carefully, and hope that even when that point of view may not be the decision that I make, mm-hmm. that the community and other stakeholders that I talk with understand that they were heard in the process.
It's so important is to know that you've been heard. It may not be the answer that you want, but you feel much better, especially in this small town.
I think that those very skills I just described mm-hmm. are also going to further the current council's efforts to have inclusive governance. And I very much support that because including people is going to increase both the credibility and the trust between the community and the council. And I think, again, in a small town, credibility and trust are very important to not just the types of decisions, but the feeling we have about our city government. And I do believe my mediation experience will be very helpful in furthering those goals as well. With regard to my legal experience, as a lawyer, you're trained to analyze issues, ask questions, and then gather the facts and the legal background to analyze them and come up with a position or a decision. So I think that background is going to allow me to take these complicated issues and understand them. I'd be the only person with that background that I know of on the city council. Therefore, I think that diverse points of view are going to make better decisions. And I have an example of that from a city council meeting recently. Both Adam Eisen, a fellow candidate for city council, and I were there. And after one of the decisions, he came up to me and he asked me a question about the cost of what was being discussed. And it was an excellent question, but from my legal background versus his business background, I was watching the process because I had heard a motion that would have resulted in a different decision than the one that was finally approved. And I was trying to understand what the factors were that had caused that change. And not that I disagreed with the final, but the process in getting there was very important to me. And so I think that's an excellent example how five individuals with diverse backgrounds can look at city staff reports, consider community input, and then make a good decision for Half Moon Bay.
Michelle. I think that sounds like a great plan, Carol. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that I've covered what I wanted to today. Again,
excellent.
I appreciate your time and your listeners' time, and I'd be honored to have their votes for City Council in November.
Thank you so much for coming in, Carol. I learned a lot this afternoon, so thanks very much, and I hope to have you back.
Well, thank you, Michelle.